Hello and welcome to Program Notes for your North Carolina Symphony, an exclusive production of the Triangle Radio Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. I'll be reading the program notes for all of the Classical Music Series concerts by the North Carolina Symphony for the 2019 season. The program notes I'm reading today are for the performance by the North Carolina Symphony at 8 p.m. Friday and Saturday, May 3rd and 4th at Maymandy Concert Hall, Duke Energy Center for the Performing Arts in Raleigh. Sunday, May 5th at 7:30 p.m. at the Wilson Center, Cape Fear Community College in Wilmington. And on Tuesday, May 7th at 7:30 p.m. in Memorial Hall in Chapel Hill. These performances will be conducted by guest conductor Carlos Miguel Prieto. The featured soloists include North Carolina Symphony violinists Karen Strittmatter Galvin and Jacqueline Sayed Woldborski. Also featured will be soprano Ying Fang, tenor Vale Rideout, baritone Stephen Powell, the North Carolina Master Chorale, and the Capital City Girls Choir. The program on this performance will include the following. The North Carolina Symphony comes onto the stage to perform a work by Gabriela Ortiz, Hominum, Concerto for Orchestra. And that will be followed by music composed by Anna Klein, entitled The Prince of Clouds. Then, following the intermission, the featured work for this particular performance, Carmina Burana, by Carl Orff. But first, before we talk about the music, here's some information about our guest conductor and guest soloists. Musical America has announced Carlos Miguel Prieto as Conductor of the Year for 2019. Born into a musical family of Spanish and French descent in Mexico City, Prieto is a graduate of Princeton University and Harvard. He has been music director of the Orquesta Sinfónica Nacional de México, the country's most important orchestra, since 2007. He has also been music director of the Louisiana Philharmonic Orchestra since 2006. In 2008, he was appointed music director of the Orquesta Sinfónica de Mineria, a hand-picked orchestra that performs a two-month-long series of summer programs in Mexico City. Before being named Assistant Concertmaster of the North Carolina Symphony, Karen Strittmatter Galvin was a member of the Delaware Symphony Orchestra and had an active freelance career in Washington, D.C., performing regularly with the Washington National Opera and the Eclipse Chamber Orchestra. She is a former member and soloist with the National Repertory Orchestra and the Westmoreland Symphony Orchestra. Galvin is also an avid chamber musician. She's a founding member of the Enscape Chamber Orchestra of Washington, D.C., and performed with the Laurel String Quartet, which was formed under the guidance of the Guarneri Quartet. Along with two of her sisters, she has been performing as a member of the Strittmatter Trio since 1988. Now, information about the other violinist from the North Carolina Symphony, Jacqueline Sayed Woldborski. Jacqueline Woldborski is principal second violin of the North Carolina Symphony and a lecturer of violin at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. She was previously a member of the Charleston Symphony and an adjunct professor of violin at the College of Charleston. She has been a featured soloist with the North Carolina Symphony, Brussels Chamber Orchestra, and South Carolina Philharmonic, and was honored with the Russell Award at the Coleman International Chamber Music Competition. Woldborski has performed at the National Gallery in Washington, D.C. as a co-founder of LACE, Living Arts Collective Ensemble, and with fellow North Carolina Symphony musicians in a trio setting. She has performed for Nobel Peace Prize winner Elie Wiesel in Chicago and in 2001 for the Vice President of the United States in Washington, D.C. Now some information about our guest singers for these performances. In the 2018-19 season, Mozart is the foundation for two auspicious debuts for soprano Ying Feng, a new production of Idomeneo at the Salzburg Festival reunites her with director Peter Sellers. She also returns to the Metropolitan Opera for a role debut as Servilia in La Clemenza di Tito. This season, American tenor Vale Rideout returns to Florentine Opera as Villiers in Carlisle Floyd's Prince of Players and as a soloist in Britain's War Requiem with the Fresno Philharmonic. His engagements in the 2017-18 season included performing Hades in the premiere of Julian Wagner's Rev 23 with the Boston New Music Festival, joining Milwaukee's Florentine Opera Company for The Merry Widow as Camille, and joining the New York Festival of Song for their Bernstein Marathon. American baritone Stephen Powell brings his rich lyric baritone, commanding presence, and thoughtful musicianship to a wide range of music, according to an article in the Wall Street Journal. He recently made a debut performance as the title role in Macbeth with the Michigan Opera Theater, of which Opera News wrote, "Powell's undeniably powerful voice seethed with potential until his astonishing Act 4 Andante, when the gleaming beauty and sumptuous musicality of his rich baritone was finally given resplendent display." Also featured in tonight's performance of Carmina Burana is the North Carolina Master Chorale, one of the major choral organizations of the Southeast. The North Carolina Master Chorale has been performing choral orchestral masterworks for more than 75 years. The Master Chorale boasts two renowned ensembles, a 170-voice symphonic choir, and a 22-voice professional chamber choir with a diverse repertoire from Renaissance to contemporary music. Its singers, selected by audition, bring a collective wealth of training and experience. The Master Chorale is the resident chorus of the North Carolina Symphony and regularly collaborates with symphony orchestras, opera and ballet companies, and touring productions. The organization received a Raleigh Medal of Arts in recognition of its rich heritage and numerous artistic contributions to the community. Music director and conductor Dr. Alfred E. Sturgis holds multiple degrees in music and performed with Robert Shaw in the U.S. and Europe. In addition to the Master Chorale, Sturgis serves as music director for Carolina Ballet and the Tar River Philharmonic Orchestra. And finally, the Capital City Girls Choir is a vocal and music training program for girls from Raleigh and the Greater Triangle region in North Carolina. CCGC is associated with the Community Outreach Program of the Department of Music at Meredith College. Founded in 1987 by Dr. Fran M. Page, now Professor Emerita at Meredith College, the Capital City Girls Choir offers weekly training that encompasses musicianship, theory, and group and vocal instruction and practice. The first work to be performed by the North Carolina Symphony is Hominum, Concerto for Orchestra, composed by Gabriela Ortiz. Ortiz was born December 20, 1964, in Mexico City. The work was composed 2016, first performance January 27, 2017, by the Juilliard Orchestra in New York City with Carlos Miguel Prieto conducting. Now here is the overview. Gabriela Ortiz, one of Mexico's foremost composers, was born in Mexico City in 1964 into a family of musicians in the folk music ensemble Los Folcloristas. She studied composition at the National Conservatory of Music and the National University of Mexico and won a British Council Fellowship in 1990 to study in London at the Guildhall School of Music and Drama. She completed her doctoral work 2 years later at the City University of London. Ortiz now teaches at the National Autonomous University of Mexico City and as visiting faculty at Indiana University. She has composed often on international commissions for opera, ballet, orchestra, chamber ensembles, and film in a style rooted in classical, jazz, and traditional Mexican music. In addition to two Latin Grammy nominations, Gabriela Ortiz has been honored with Mexico's National Prize for Arts and Literature, a Mozart Medal, and first prizes at the Alicia Ureta Composition Competition and Sylvester Revueltas National Chamber Music Competition. Now here is what to listen for. Gabriela Ortiz's homonym, which means humanity, was commissioned by the Instituto Nacional de Bellas Artes, the Orquesta Sinfónica Nacional of Mexico, and its artistic director Carlos Miguel Prieto in celebration of the 100th anniversary of the Political Constitution of Mexico. That was from 1917 to 2017. The following information was provided for the work's British premiere, the Royal Liverpool Philharmonic, in November of 2017, by flutist and composer Alejandro Esquer, a faculty colleague of Ortiz at the university, who has recorded an album of her flute music. During the process of composing Homonym Concerto for Orchestra in 2016, a kind of synesthesia evolved as certain colors, images, and or moods took on a gradual and metaphoric significance vis-a-vis the social, philosophical, and political concerns that are central to the human condition. The work is divided into four movements. Their titles allude to the mysterious associations and creative manifestations of music through a series of characteristics that represent our existence as a society. Black marks the beginning of our primitive, archaic, primeval coexistence among dark rituals, habits, and customs ruled by instinct, elements, and the chaos that prevents humankind from looking out for the common good. Light, on the other hand, represents the world of ideas, laws, concepts tailored to a social coexistence, founded on principles that, first and foremost, prioritize organization and order. In Water describes the equilibrium between the needs of the individual and society at large, the reconciliation of both sides of humanity, two spheres that, floating in suspension, levitate to enable the generation of creativity, transformation, and fulfillment. And finally, Red represents our strength upon confronting different manifestations of injustice. It is the emotional product of chaos caused by a lack of equilibrium, impunity, and the corruption of ideas and matter. It is the indignation and struggle against all that keeps us as a society from living together in harmony. This work is created for alto flute, two oboes, English horn, two clarinets, bass clarinet, two bassoons, contrabassoon, four horns, four trumpets, three trombones, tuba, timpani, two harps, piano, celesta, and strings. Next on the program, the North Carolina Symphony presents The Prince of Clouds, and that was composed by Anna Klein. Klein was born March 9, 1980, in London. The work was composed in 2012, and the first performance was November 3, 2012, in Germantown, Tennessee. The Iris Orchestra, Michael Stern conducting, with Jennifer Coe and Jamie Laredo as the violin soloists. Now here is the overview. Anna Klein, according to the biography provided by her publisher, Boosey and Hawkes, is a composer of acoustic and electroacoustic music, combining resonant soundscapes with propelling textures that weave, morph, and collide in dramatic explosions. Her work often includes collaborations with cutting-edge choreographers, visual artists, filmmakers, and musicians worldwide. Anna Klein was born in London, 1980, and she studied music from early in life. She recalls lessons on a piano with randomly missing keys, began composing at age 11, a fully notated piece for flute and piano, by the way, and received her undergraduate training at Edinburgh University and Manhattan School of Music. Klein's dedication to both education and collaboration are evidenced by her extended residency, which was from 2010 to 2015, with the Chicago Symphony Orchestra, when she not only composed six works for the ensemble, including the Grammy-nominated double violin concerto Prince of Clouds, but also conducted workshops with the Chicago Public Schools and the city's Juvenile Detention Center. Joined musicians of the Civic Orchestra of Chicago and the CSO and chorus to realize the work of young poets, musicians, and composers. And she worked with art therapist Caroline Idasis to develop an innovative collaboration between the Negonee Music Institute at the Chicago Symphony and residents in the memory care unit of the Mather Pavilion Residential Nursing Care Facility. And she has also led seminars and master classes at prominent American and European schools and institutions. Anna Klein's honors include 8 ASCAP Plus Awards, the Paul Hindemith Prize, a Charles Ives Fellowship from the American Academy of Arts and Letters, and a Gwen Clutterbuck Scholarship from the University of Edinburgh. She also received a grant from Opera America to develop a work titled Ava, about the German-born American post-minimalist sculptor Ava Hess. Now here's what to listen for. Anna Klein wrote, when composing Prince of Clouds, "I was contemplating the presence of musical lineage, a family tree of sorts that passes from generation to generation. This transfer of knowledge and inspiration between generations is a beautiful gift. In Prince of Clouds, this thread was in the foreground of my imagination as a dialogue between the soloists and ensemble. As a composer working with such virtuosic, passionate, and unique musicians is yet another link in this musical chain. This work is written for 2 solo violins and strings." Following the intermission, the North Carolina Symphony returns to the stage to perform Carmina Burana by Carl Orff. Orff was born July 10, 1895, in Munich, and he died March 29, 1982, also in Munich. The work was composed 1935 to 1936, and the first performance was December 8, 1937, in Frankfurt. Bertel Wetzenberger was the conductor. Now here is the overview. 30 miles south of Munich, in the foothills of the Bavarian Alps, is the Abbey of Benedict Buren. In 1803, a 13th-century codex was discovered among its holdings, containing some 200 secular poems which give a vivid earthly portrait of medieval life. Many of these poems, attacking the defects of the church, satirizing contemporary manners and morals, criticizing the omnipotence of money, and praising the sensual joys of food, drink, and physical love, were written by an amorphous band known as Goliards. These wandering scholars and ecclesiastics, who were often esteemed teachers and recipients of courtly patronage, filled their worldly verses with images of self-indulgence that were probably as much literary convention as biographical fact. The language they used was a heady mixture of Latin, Old German, and Old French. Some paleographic musical notation appended to a few of the poems indicates that they were sung, but it is today so obscure as to be indecipherable. This manuscript was published in 1847 by Johann Andreas Schmeller under the title Carmina Burana, Songs of Buren, Carmina being the plural of the Latin word for song, Carmen. Carl Orff encountered these lusty lyrics for the first time in the 1930s, and he was immediately struck by their theatrical potential. Like Aaron Copland and Virgil Thompson in the United States, Orff at that time was searching for a simpler, more direct musical expression that could immediately affect listeners. Orff's view, however, was more Teutonically philosophical than that of the Americans, who were seeking a music for the common man, one related to the everyday world. Orff sought to create a musical idiom that would serve as a means of drawing listeners away from their daily experiences and closer to the realization of oneness with the universe. In the words of the composer's biographer, Andreas Lies, Orff's spiritual form is molded by the superimposition of high intellect on a primitive creative instinct, thus establishing a tension between the rational and the irrational. The artistic presentation of the deep-seated psychological self to the thinking person allows an exploration of the regions of being that have been overlaid by accumulated layers of civilization. To portray the connection between the physical and spiritual spheres, Orff turned to the theater. His theater, however, was hardly the conventional one. Orff's modern vision entails stripping away not only the richly romantic musical language of traditional opera, but also eliminating its elaborate stagecraft, costumes, and scenery so that it was reduced to just its essential elements of production. Orff's reform even went so far as to question the validity of any works written before 1935, including his own, to express the state of modern man, and he told his publisher to destroy all of his music, that is, Orff's, which unfortunately had been printed. The first piece that embodied Orff's new outlook was Carmina Burana. Though Carmina Burana is most frequently heard in the concert hall, Orff insisted that it was intended to be staged and that the music was only one of its constituent parts. "I have never been concerned with music as such, but rather with music as spiritual discussion," he wrote. "Music is the servant of the word, trying not to disturb, but to emphasize and underline." He felt that this objective was best achieved in the theater, but Carmina Burana still has a stunning impact even without its visual element. Its effect arises from the monumental simplicity of the musical style by which Orff sought to depict the primitive, instinctive side of mankind. Gone are the long, intricate forms of traditional German symphonic music, the opulent homogeneity of the romantic orchestra, the rich textiles of the 19th-century masters. They are replaced by a structural simplicity and a sinewy electric musicality that is driven by an almost primeval rhythmic energy. The simpler and more reduced to essentials the statement is, the more immediate and profound its effect, wrote Orff. It is precisely through enforced simplicity that Orff intended to draw listeners to their instinctual awareness of oneness with the universe. Whether he succeeded as philosopher is debatable. Hans-Peter Krellmann wrote in the New Grove Dictionary of Music and Musicians, "The four aspects of Orff's musical theater, tragedy of archetypes, visionary embodiment of metaphysical ideas, bizarre fantasy, and physical exuberance, are usually intertwined, and it is apparent from the works that Orff's main concern is not with the exposition of human nature in tragedy, nor with whimsical fancy, nor with the statement of supernatural truths, nor with joyous exultation. His intention seems to be to create a spectacle. So what then is Carmina Burana? A set of ribald songs? A medieval morality play? A philosophical tract? Well, perhaps it is all of these, but more than anything, it is one of the most invigorating, entertaining, easily heard, and memorable musical creations of the 20th century. Orff chose 24 poems from the Carmina Burana manuscript to include in his work. Since the 13th century music for them was unknown, all of their settings are original to him. Orff's Carmina Burana is disposed in three large sections with a prologue and an epilogue. The three principal divisions, the Primovere, the springtime, In Taberna, in the tavern, and the Cour d'Amour, the court of love, sing the libidinous songs of youth, joy, and love. However, the prologue and epilogue, using the same verses and music that frame these pleasurable accounts, warn against unbridled enjoyment. The wheel of fortune turns, dishonored I fall from grace, and another is raised on high, caution the words of Fortuna Imperatrix Mundi, the fortune empress of the world. The chorus that stands like pillars of eternal verity at the entrance and exit of this medieval world. They are the ancient poet's reminder that mortality is the human lot, that the turning of the same wheel of fortune that brings sensual pleasure may also grind that joy to dust. It is this bald juxtaposition of antitheses, the most rustic human pleasures with the sternest of cosmic admonitions, coupled with Orff's elemental music idiom that gives Carmina Burana its dynamic theatricality. Now here is what to listen for. The work opens with the chorus Fortuna Imperatri Mundi, depicting the terrible revolution of the Wheel of Fate through a powerful, repeated, rhythmic figure that grows inexorably to a stunning climax. After a brief morality tale, I lament the wounds that fortune deals, it says, the springtime section begins. Its songs and dances are filled with the sylvan brightness and optimistic expectancy appropriate to the annual rebirth of the earth and the spirit. The next section, In Taberna, in the tavern, is given over wholly to the men's voices. Along with a hearty drinking song are heard two satirical stories, Olim Locus Colorum, Once in Lakes I Made My Home, one of the most fiendishly difficult pieces in the tenor repertory. I Am the Abbot of Kukani is the next one, and in the third division, Cour d'Amour, Court of Love, leaves far behind the rowdy revels of the tavern to enter a refined, seductive world of sensual pleasure. The music is limpid, gentle, and enticing, and marks the first appearance of the soprano soloist. The lover's urgent entreaties grow in ardor, with insistent encouragement from the chorus, until submission is won in the most rapturous moment in the score, Dulcime, Sweetest Boy. The grand paean to the loving couple is cut short by the intervention of imperious fate, as the opening chorus, like the turning of the great wheel, comes around and once again to close this mighty work. Carl Schumann wrote of the universality of Orff's Carmina Burana, "No individual destiny is touched upon. There are no dramatic persona in the normal sense of the term. Instead, primeval forces are invoked, such as the ever-turning wheel of fortune, the revivifying power of spring, the intoxicating effect of love, and those elements in man which prompt him to the enjoyment of earthly and all too earthly pleasures. The principal figure is man as a natural being delivered over to forces stronger than himself." The instrumentation for this work is as follows: two piccolos, three flutes, three oboes, English horn, E-flat clarinet, three clarinets, bass clarinet, two bassoons, contrabassoon, four horns, three trumpets, three trombones, tuba, timpani, percussion, two pianos, celesta, and strings. The program notes for this symphony performance were composed and copyrighted in 2019 by Dr. Richard E. Rhoda.
You
You have been listening to Program Notes for your North Carolina Symphony, an exclusive production of the Triangle Radio Reading Service. I will be reading all of the program notes for the classical music series of the North Carolina Symphony for the remainder of the 2019 season. This program is available on demand as a podcast on the day before each concert series and will be available for the remainder of the concert season. I'm George Douglas. Thank you for joining me today. We sincerely hope that listening to Symphony Notes will enhance your enjoyment of your North Carolina Symphony. Goodbye until next time.